Stanley Turrentine with a little number called Plum. It's from the Best of Stanley Turrentine compilation released by Blue Note Records in 1989. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I hope I hope you're okay. Things are getting more and more erratic and crazy. And frankly, I don't mind telling you, it makes me tired. You know, there's so much happening, and you're buffeted one way or the other, and it doesn't seem to end. And you get tired just trying to follow the tracks to see where things are coming from and where they're leading to. That's the life we're all living at this time. Now, yesterday we had a lot of traffic, too much traffic to accommodate in the course of the program. So I did say yesterday that we will continue the program today, and that's what we'll do. We talked about the fact that Donald Trump, I mean, he's loathsome, he's intellectually stunted, he's crass, he's coarse, he's boastful without reason. You know, he's a president. And just when you think that there's a formidable opposition that might dislodge him in 2020, he looks even stronger somehow. So the question I asked yesterday, and which we will continue the discussion about today, is how is it that there is still the feeling that he could win? All the attributes that we talked about just a minute ago, these would be things that would tend to turn people off. These would be things that, like mosquito repellent. But still, he seems to be gaining ground. And yet, the opposition seems, well armed to take him out. But it's not happening. So, could he win, is the question. With all these things going against him, he's facing impeachment, he's got a zillion cases against him, federal cases against him, all kinds of investigations, not just him, but his close associates and people in his administration, corruption galore. He's got so many negatives against him. But could he win? And we got some really incredible analyses yesterday, and people laid out why it is he's not to be discounted. It is not to be taken for granted that the Democrats will have a nullifying effect on Donald Trump, because, of course, they're holding impeachment hearings and they basically taking charge of the prosecution of Donald Trump. And yet, for all of that, as unpopular as he is in the Democratic or pro-Democratic community, he's still standing. Why is that? And I come back to the central question, could he win? Could he survive all of this? And if so, what would happen? What would he have to do? Or what has to happen to have him hold on to his office for another round. This is mind-boggling to me. He presents just about every excuse, every explanation for why he shouldn't be in office anymore. And yet, he looks very strong. What accounts for this anomaly? Any ideas? At 888-874-4888. We have to analyze this thing. What are the elements of his remarkable strength of resistance? What is happening? And here we are talking and considering it is quite possible, even with all that is against him, he seems to be slithering through. 888-874-4888. Those of you who did not have a chance to get through yesterday, this really is for you. I don't like it when people are left hanging and they can't get in. So based on the enthusiasm that we saw yesterday, and we got such great calls and analyses yesterday, I thought I owe it to you to give you the time you need. From Chicago, Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, Trace, how's it going?
Okay, how's by you?
That's okay. I'm hanging in there. I definitely agree with yesterday's show. I think everybody on the show gave a very valid analysis in regards to why this man could possibly, if not be the favorite, to win next year. But I guess from my standpoint, I mean, there's a lot of mirrors. There's a lot of reasons why I think, but I'm going to give you three that kind of stick out to me. Number one, obviously, there is no opposition. There is nobody to really challenge him in regards to personality-wise, because the Democrats, for one, they don't have that particular personality like a Donald Trump. Because I guess in American politics today, it's all about personality now. You know, that's how dumbed down politically we've become. So, you know, people like to watch, a clown show and who's the best performer. So the Democrats don't have anybody in that sense, whether it be by show or whether it just be by somebody who is just going to do the job. I think yesterday, too, and this is going to point number two for me, I think it was Patricia, one of the show's best callers, in my opinion, that talked about money. I'm not sure if that was her or not, but I know somebody yesterday talked about money. And Donald Trump was here in Chicago last week, raised $4 million for his campaign. That was one day. So, yes, money is going to be a big factor because this guy's already shoring up the treasure trove. And my third point is with the rise, to me, you see a rise in fascism, which Dr. Francis Cress Wilson calls end-stage white supremacy. And with that, he's going to get as he did with the 2016 election, a lot of support in the areas where, you know, he won the Electoral College. Mind you, he will probably win again without the popular vote, but then he will still win the Electoral College. So that's kind of like the three points that I kind of see in regards to Donald Trump winning again.
But you therefore, I have to bring it to your attention, you didn't mention any idea that he would be impeached. That's not even part of your consideration. You're saying, forget impeachment, he's going to beat that too. He's going to get around it.
I believe he will. He will definitely get. I think this impeachment hearing is a show. They're not serious about it. And even if it is, the Republicans who still control the Senate, despite the fact that they don't like him, they're not going to go against him in that particular manner. Mind you, in politics, and especially when it comes to the Republicans, they're like family. All right. Yes, this particular person I don't like in my family, but I'm not going to, you know, kill them or, you know, off them, you know, just like that. So I may not talk to them, but, you know, I'm not going to kill them. So that's the way I feel.
Blood is thicker than water?
Huh?
Blood is thicker than water?
Yeah, that, exactly.
Okay, so you see Donald Trump possibly prevailing and to the point that he might even win if he runs
I will say this,
for re-election, which he says he intends to do.
Yeah,
thanks, Henry. Good to hear from you.
Okay.
Thank you. Ephraim Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you trees.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, dear. Thank you. Hope you are well, and the rest of the PRN family are doing well also.
Thank you. So what are you thinking? Why is it that a person who has, at least ostensibly, so much going against him, from a popular view, still looks like he could win?
Yeah, well, I remember all the way back in the early 90s, I used to listen to your show on BAI, and you'd always close the show up by saying, pay close attention. Apparently, I'm the only one doing that. Oh, let me say thank you, Willie, and thank you, David, for agreeing with my last few calls, because it really lifted my spirit. And seems that only us guys from Brooklyn have our thinking caps on. And we're not falling for this game that they're playing on us. And we're up against a bunch of scoundrels from Brooklyn like Trump and Pelosi and Schumer. You know, so it's an even game. We should have a debate. Me, Willie, and David from Brooklyn against Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer. I wonder who would win. Anyway. You know how I feel about it already, Therese. I made my points very clear. 3 years ago, I told you Trump will not only stay in there for his whole first term, but he's also going to get a second term. And it's all arranged that way. And all that has to happen is what's happening as we're seeing it. It's like the writing on the proverbial wall. We're seeing Biden's going to get the nomination, and he's going to win the nomination, and Bernie's going to have to run as an independent, and then people are going to buy it. They're going to buy that he won this fair and square because they knocked each other off, and he was able to get enough votes just to get by. You know, I even want to go as far as to say that Miss Ocasio-Cortez is being played, and she doesn't realize it, that they let her win on purpose just to make people think that, see, if they didn't really count votes, then she would have never won, because if it was all set up, they wouldn't want her in there. They have to let people sometimes from the left get in there to keep us believing in this make-believe story that they count our votes. This is all an arrangement. It's like a horse race, you know? It's all predetermined, like wrestling. Like all sports now is. Like almost everything in life is becoming. Everything is prearranged and set up. And, you know, I can't say it as good as David from Brooklyn or George Carlin, but I'm just putting the best way I can say it, you know. We're being tricked from every facet of life, and we better start to wake up soon to at least know what's really going on, so that when we go to the grave, at least we can't say we've been having our minds taken away from us. That's
all right.
That's the...
Well, okay, thank you, E, for calling in and contributing today. Matt from New York, you're on the air. Are you adding something to what you said yesterday?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I couldn't get through yesterday. I kept getting a long ring and then a busy. Okay, I have a few thoughts. First of all, I listened very carefully yesterday, and I thought there was some good analysis. But I'm going to be more upbeat in this respect. The election yesterday, very, very interesting in that, from Kornacki's analysis, you know, he's a numbers guy on MSNBC. He was pointing out the rural Kentucky areas. I mean, Trump won Kentucky, I think, by like 30, 40 points in 2016. But those rural folks aren't as stupid as they seem, because I guess, you know, he's not doing anything for them as workers or health care.
They're stupid. As stupid as they seem.
Well, or as Muhammad Ali would say, as you look, that was a joke that he would make to everyone. But a Kentucky governor seems to have won the race, and this is after Trump went through and said it would be the most terrible thing in the world if the Republican governor didn't get another term, which he doesn't seem to do. The Virginia legislate, where the Democratic governor is all Democrats now. So, and there's a lot of women, city councils, a Muslim woman. So there does seem to be, and the polls regarding impeachment, don't forget that they went up quite a bit. So one poll asking for both, and he's definitely, let me say to Henry, he's definitely going to be impeached, which is going to be how his biography and Wikipedia page starts. This is a huge stain. And, of course, we know McConnell, but in Kentucky, he's got it.
But you're not answering the question. You're giving us a guided tour about how the vote turned out yesterday. The question at hand is, with all that is going against him, how is it possible that we have to consider the fact that he could very well win?
Yes, he could very well win. And the other part I wanted to add to the discussion is hearing Greg Palast on Flashpoints, now that BAI is the national version yesterday, he gives an analysis of what happened in Detroit, how those votes got trashed, and he gives a breakdown as to how he won, how Trump won, what happened in Wisconsin, the university, 150,000 or whatever, how their votes, you know, without their recognizing their ID, and he gave some warnings and what we need to do to avoid the same kind of scenario. Also, there's a convention of the states, so a few. Oh,
wait! You're still off point.
Well, I'm talking
about how you are thinking.
Not to give us a report on what other people are reporting.
What are you thinking?
Well, I'm looking at how we can work so he doesn't win. That's how I'm approaching it, okay? We know the Electoral College played a big role, and two or three more states need to sign on, and that will become irrelevant, okay? Convention of the states. So I'm trying to look at the upside, because this country is trash if that guy gets in for another 4 years. I mean, we might as well kiss it goodbye. And the main point is why we don't even know whether Trump really believes that he had a perfect call, whether it's a total cognitive decline and total lack of understanding. But the reason why you have the Republicans acting as crazy as they do, sometimes with help from the Democrats, is because it's a white nationalist project that they're trying to push through. That's what's behind the curtain, as I see it.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you for your consideration in giving us an interesting window to look through.
Thank you.
From Mount Vernon, Lincoln, you're on the air. By the way, the number is 888-874-4888.
Hello,
Eucharis. Hello.
Yes. I want to.
How is it that with all that supposedly is going against the president, we still must consider that he could win? What will happen, or what will have happened, to make that possible?
One is Trump's projection. I'm talking about his ability to project confidence. And what I mean by this is, if you go back to when he was on the campaign trail, I don't know if you remember one particular place where he was giving a speech, I forgot where. And then suddenly I think there was a loud bang or something, and they thought it was someone trying to assassinate him or something. And the CIA rushed him off the stage. When they rushed him off the stage, and after they saw that there was no threat, if you notice how Trump came back on stage, he came back and he didn't miss a beat. There was not a sign of fear in him. He was as calm as a cucumber, and he went back into his antics like nothing happened. You see, a lot of people say they're into politics, but they're not watching things on a microscopic level. And so Trump is he's not crazy like you all think, and he's a strategist. Don't get me wrong. I'm against a lot of his crassness and his buffoonery, but he's not crazy like you all think. So I want you to remember that. And if you notice, when the mounting of impeachment, etc., goes against him, one day you see pallor in his face, and he looks like a whipped dog. Next moment, you see him at a convention, and he's like revived, and he's bright again. You know, he's a true warrior. And I've heard some people I think it was Amy Goodwin or somebody, say, I shook his hand and his hands were sweating and he's scared. Trump is not scared. And you must remember, Trump was hanging out with the Epsteins and the Clintons, and who are gangsters. They're all gangsters. So it's like mafia figures, when they're in the room with each other, they know the potential threat that they all it's like when God, they all pose. It's like when people are playing cards, and there are those who will win because they have a way of not showing that, hey man, I got a bad hand. All right, the next reason why he might triumph is because, I don't know if you know, there's a group recently, and it's a group of people that several people formed this group. And they're saying why they were anti-Trump people. There are even some gay people in it. And they after they came to realize certain truths, they converted from being anti-Trump to now supporting Trump. And certain truths, like, for example, these spurious claims, these spurious impeachment claims. And that's what is sad. When people wake up to the fact that what most of people are pushing is spurious claims, then they will change. They realize that they're being played. For example, if you're going to impeach him on something solid. You know that there was no such thing as Russian collusion.
Well, we will know how solid they are because the impeachment hearings are to be public as of next week.
Well, no, but what I'm saying to you, that the Russian claim, we know it was false. And the murder of Seth Rich is one of the clues to showing you that the murder was that Russia had nothing to do with this. After it was leaked, they suspected Seth Rich as the person who leaked the mail.
We don't know. You're talking like you know.
I believe
fact.
So. And you are he was assassinated.
But remember that we don't have any definitive proof of any of that at all. So be careful not to state it as fact.
They had no good reason for saying that he collaborated with Russia. This is all because the people are disgruntled about this white woman losing because she didn't. What they talk about this breaking through the ceiling because
you're off point. Get back on point, please. Let's deal with the question asked. You're doing well, but now you're off point.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is when people wake up to the fact, more people becoming aware that we're being played with this Russian thing, and if more people who become aware of the fact that the Trump coup actually began even before he was inaugurated. You know, when you listen, if you listen to like me and people like Key West, you listen to stuff like these three FBI agents. What's his name? Page and the other guy, Strokes. And he said, we're going to resort to plan two or plan B if this effer wins, which means that the plan B was to carry out a coup against him. And when I think you see, like, one of the reasons why he might come back is because a lot of the ridiculous beliefs, like, for example, I heard Patricia yesterday saying, oh, I don't know what he's doing with this Russia thing, and he got me scared. Got you scared about what? How is he in cahoots with Russia? You know, what is Russia doing to America? It sounds so ridiculous.
I take the position that all of them are lying. I don't believe any of them. And I am loath to think that they will make me change my mind about that. This is becoming clearer and clearer that all these leaders, all of them,
right,
have been playing all the people of the world. And we have to be right on point so that we don't get suckered in. But I want you to wrap up with this. Mm-hmm. What will have to happen, you think, that would allow Trump to prevail?
Okay, let me add one thing. As much as you hear me rail like I do, sometimes I hate that I get so passionate, you know, because I really do believe that the answer to the human problem is really spiritual, okay? So, in the midst of all of my political, you know, carrying on, etc., I must tell you that one thing that keeps me calm is I do believe in the Bible, in the scriptures, and it's not fake like people think. And we are living in the times of revelation.
You're driving me crazy, Lincoln. You're on to subject number four or five or six.
I'm going to tell you.
Stay on point.
Listen for a second and you will see where I'm going. What I'm going to say to you...
We can't give you the whole hour to see where you're going.
No. I'm going to finish with this point. The point I was about to make, but I had to predicate it with that, is that no matter what we think, I do believe that many things are divinely ordered. And whether, regardless of what we plan or don't plan, if Trump is supposed to win, he will win. And if he's not supposed to win, he will not win. Because we are living in the times of revelations. And if you don't have
You have to leave it there for today, because there is no way to argue or debate revelations. There's no way to do that. So thank you for your contribution today. I agree with many of the things that you said, but when we start slipping into religion, that's really mushy ground for me. Bill, you're on the air. Bill from Brooklyn.
Of the listeners. Hello. Hi, good afternoon, Yatrice, and to everyone.
Thank you.
Yes, You're welcome. Well, first of all, let's keep our heads. We have a little less than 1 year to go, and Donald Trump, like so many in history, and I hate to even put him in the category of Hitler and Mussolini, but the populations at that time, they also rallied around those thugs, criminals, and liars. And Trump is cut from the same mold. He has been campaigning every day he's been in office. And that's how he fuels himself, by going to his base. And it's just like, you know, recharging a battery. But ultimately, the people will prevail. I'm not throwing the towel in by any means. One of the callers said that Trump is a warrior. He is not a warrior at all. He's a coward. And the way that he treats people, his worldview, everything about him shows that he is a coward and a despot. I have faith that the right candidate will be selected to go up against him. I know who I want, and I think is the only one that can counter him, and that is Joe Biden. And of course, he's not the perfect candidate, but none of them are. But Biden will be able to tap into a few of those folks in the Trump base that still have not been lulled into insanity, and that could be enough to sort of take him over the threshold to win the presidency. But so yes, that's kind of my sense on it.
What has to happen for Trump to break through? We preface this talk today and yesterday with the fact that so much is against him. It almost is crazy to suggest or to discuss that he could possibly prevail with so much against him. And yet, it is possible. So what is it that might work in his favor to push him through?
Well, the number one thing, I think, is the economy. People vote with their pocketbooks or their wallets. and so jobs are critical. And although it seems that there is some stability in that regard, there's still a huge undercurrent of unemployment that the media is not focusing on at all. Every day, more and more people are being displaced because of lack of jobs and adequate employment. So that is one thing that I think people will consider, especially in those so-called red states. But even there, they are starting to really suffer. I mean, the farmers are losing their farms, manufacturing is going down, and so forth. So. And as many know, there is a bubble that is being predicted to burst next year. So we'll see how, not that I want that by any means, or anyone would, but we'll see how the economy turns. But also, we're engaged in all of these expeditions around the world militarily, and I think that could also work against him. So time will tell.
And politically, how is it possible that he could come through politically, given that there's so much against him, even politically?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, it's what could happen is that his Republican base, in terms of the electorate, the senators in particular, will still rally around him, but it will be at their own detriment and at their own cost. I mean, it's sort of like it's sort of a suicide mission to continue to support him. And by doing so, they could keep their forces rallied around Trump. But ultimately, I think that the Senate would fall into Democratic hands. So it could be a weird situation where this guy wins, God forbid, and you have a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate.
What is happening now that gives you that outlook for the very near future? What is happening now politically that makes you think it is possible?
Well, for one thing, the Republican senators who, in the face of new information, factual information, this Ambassador Sondheim, I believe his name, has come out and confirmed yes, that it was indeed a quid pro quo that Trump did engage in. And somehow this guy has seen the light of day. I think he's seen other people who are now in jail, and he could see that as his future. And so he has come forth with his version of the truth, which is somewhat factual. I think others will also follow suit. But with the senators continuing to bolster Trump, I think at their detriment, and carry those particular states, that could help support Trump. But I think ultimately it's to their demise.
Mm. Well, thank you very much, Dylan. You're hired as a political consultant. Thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you. Gwen from New York City, you're on the air. Hello, Gwen. Oh, she's gone. Sasha from California, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon, Ms. Patrice.
Hello, Sasha.
Hi there. Hi. A bunch of things. I just wanted to kind of reiterate that some of the people on Pacifica have, well, not only on Pacifica, but anyway, I've just heard people point out that to use this word, the phrase quid pro quo, you know, it's Latin, and they don't really want to use English because the proper word is bribery and extortion. That's what the legal thing is that it comes down to. And so by using the words, the phrase quid pro quo, we are playing into the hands where we're allowing the media and the Trump administration itself to define the narrative. So that's one point.
Oh my goodness. What is wrong? I mean, what is wrong with saying quid pro quo?
Well, a lot of people don't speak.
Why is it now a thing you have to, people have to now define how you define quid
pro
quo? No,
but I'm just saying most people don't speak or care to learn Latin, including myself. You know, it's just like, okay, well, we've learned a new phrase, quid pro quo, but really it means bribery and extortion in the case of what we're trying to define. So it's like they're spinning, you know, they're just controlling the narrative, just the same as the White House press secretary controls the narrative and saying, see, it proves nothing. It proves that Trump is innocent.
It's just an expression. People don't have to get all...
No, I'm just saying just one point. That's just one point. The other point is, also I agree with the last caller saying, yes, Trump is not a warrior. If anything, and you know, the way he gets his refreshment is by crushing up some more Adderall, you know, and getting himself jacked up on pharmaceutical speed, and going to McDonald's. I mean, you know, the guy is like a vampire.
Wait,
if anything,
you can't let you get away with that.
I'm sorry.
I cannot let you get away with saying that.
Oh, okay. Well, then don't.
You're casting aspersions, and you're calling. You know.
Okay,
do you have proof that he uses Adderall? Do you have proof that he's always high? Do you have proof to back up that one little phrase you just uttered? We have to be responsible.
It's hearsay, but it comes from people who have come
hearsay
out publicly.
Hearsay is not good enough. That's not a defense
right, but it
for
comes from
impugning
somebody who
somebody's
publicly...
character.
Yes,
you can't,
so it comes out...
you can't go to court and defend yourself saying, well, it's hearsay.
Okay, well, then, you know, it comes from someone who has come out publicly and saying that they have broken the non-disclosure agreement that they signed when they were working for him in the television production. And, you know, basically he said, well, that's what it is. That's what is driving this guy, you know, and that's why he's up at 3 a.m. sending out Twitters, staying up all night doing this stuff, you know. makes sense. It adds up to me. So
yeah, but that's not enough. We have to be responsible. Even if, you know, you don't like him. And it's easy to understand why people wouldn't like him. But we have a responsibility to be precise and accurate in what we say and what we allege.
Right. Well, to answer your question to the previous caller of what do you think would provide the way that he would still continue to prevail in the next election, and I'd say status quo of the media as it is, as it has been to a large extent, where they, you know, it's the circus, it's entertainment, you know, it's the Trump show, all, you know, 24/7, you know, it's like he knows how to manipulate the media, and they like say, great, we don't have to even work, all we have to do is point our cameras and microphones to in his direction, and we can just watch the ride unfold, you know.
So, do you see the possibility? Do you see it as possible that despite all these things that are going against him, including lawsuits, including popular sentiment, and so forth, that just the same, he could pull through?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, the thing that he won on is something that we shouldn't have in the first place. It's this electoral college system. So until we fix that flaw in our whole system, that's always a danger for anyone, and it could just get worse every time. I mean, he lost by 3 million popular votes. He could lose by 10 million popular votes this time, and he could still win on those stupid little technicalities of electoral colleges in two or three small states, you know?
That's a point.
But I'm not betting that that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying that's a big...
No, I understand. I'm saying you have a... that's a good point you raise.
Yeah, and that's just what I hear. That's what I'm just trying to filter back the things that get me to the gut, you know, that touch me to the deepest level of alarm, you know? And I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but I'm just saying, like, we have to be really mobilized and, you know, gosh, it's like there's brush fires everywhere. It's just...
Do you feel alarmed at what is happening
in
the state of affairs?
I do. I'm just dang lucky that I'm like, look, there's so many Californians now that have lost their homes. They've been evacuated multiple times in just the last few weeks. You know, some people have had to leave their home 2 and 3 times, you know, just in the last month. And I'm lucky enough that it hasn't come near me because I'm right in the metro, you know, Los Angeles area, but just 10, 15 miles north of me, it's like people have been flushed out, like, you know, like all the birds and the critters who live in the forest, you know. And
has the situation, has the current situation affected your own practice of politics?
Well, current situation extending back to the primaries of this last election, yeah, because I've been, you know, grassroots Green Party builder and voter for 30 years, and I got totally distracted and diverted, you know, at first very happily by Bernie Sanders, but then pretty disappointed with the outcome and the way he handled it and basically shepherded people to try to get people to vote for Clinton, you know.
Uh-huh.
That was huge disappointment. So I don't know. I mean, if he won the Democrat nomination, I'd consider voting for him again, as in the general, you know. I'm not going to re-register Democrat to vote for him in the primary again, you know. But, you know, to me, for what it's worth, I think Tulsi Gabbard might be the one person in the Democrat field that I would say, well, I think I'd feel good about voting for her in a primary, you know, or in the general for sure, you know. But I don't think she holds it.
She's not looking good. She's not looking good in the polls at all. She hasn't crossed that 1%
right
mark. And that bothers me, because at some point we have to ask ourselves, what criteria do we have? I mean, she may be the best candidate out there in terms of where she stands and what she thinks about major issues that concern a large sector. But you come to the point. If you are polling not yet 1%, what is the point of continuing?
Right.
You're going to be wasting money, you're going to be disillusioning people, and so forth. I think we have to have some kind of way to persuade people not to waste their money. You know, candidates are wasting money. If you're not polling strongly or respectably, if you're not showing respectable numbers, there comes a point where, for the sake, I mean, just logic, you get out of the race and you try better next time. But to continue a campaign and to continue to appeal to people as if you have a fighting shot, you don't.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, it would be a smart thing if you reserve whatever cash you've been able to accumulate so far, and build on that, and build on your political base. But I just don't understand the logic of continuing a national race and having to, you know, carry all these expenses associated with your so-called run. But you're not even a blip on the screen.
That's right. I think if you don't have something like somewhere between at least $100 million to $250 million, you just don't have a chance in the presidential race. And you need like at least $50 to $100 million just to get you into that primary seat, you know, just to get you up to the nomination.
Well, I don't know what the numbers are for launching a successful nationwide campaign. I know it's a lot of money.
Yeah,
but I also know that you should not lose your common sense. If you're not pulling numbers, and yes, it's important. People say, "Well, why are you paying so much attention to polls? Polls can be skewed. We know all of that, but still,
right.
You're not pulling 1%." So when do you come to your senses and say, all right, time to get out and restructure and look toward another race, perhaps a statewide office or a local office? Do something, but don't continue the agony, and don't drag people along with you with false hope. You have at 1% or less than 1%, you have no chance. And you have to deal with that.
It's true. It's reality. I just want to, if I can, I just want to mention, you know, it's not in California, but, you know, in New York State, we have a Green Party candidate that I would like to see, at least from the Green Party perspective, because we do have, we will have our primaries, and Howie Hawkins, and he doesn't have big name recognition, but he's run several times. He hasn't been on, he hasn't really been a national candidate, but he's a solid Green candidate. And, you know, I mean, if for instance, somebody with the stature of Tulsi Gabbard would say, oh, I'm done. I can see how corrupt this is. I won't ever get the Democrat nomination, but she wanted to give a run with the Green Party, you know, and come as a Green and say, you know, that's it. I'm not registered Democrat anymore. I'm going to be Green from now forward. And I mean,
the question is,
she wouldn't be the
Green
first to do that.
Itself ready to support a candidate. That's the question. Is the Green Party equipped and ready to support a national candidate?
The Green Party
mocked many times. You don't see the Green Party in the community.
Yeah, it's so
where people are dealing with serious life and death issues, they don't show up. They're not there. They don't see the merit of coming into these communities that are suffering and where they can get potentially good support. But they write off, it seems, these small communities, and it's too it's to their loss, I think, that they do that. Thanks so much, Sastra, for calling in and contributing today. Willie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, my beloved. Listen, you just used in the PRN family. Good afternoon. You just used a word that you're my professor after all, but I don't agree with that. You said common sense. Listen, most people have no sense, starting with me, much less common sense. If common sense was common, everybody would have it. You see what I'm saying? So I disagree with that word. Well, Eutrice, listen. You know, it's a very, very, very sad situation we're in. Because when you, the only thing that you own is your mind. And those that have taken our mind, they already have won. Because when, just
off topic, I have to warn you, I have to raise the flag. We are addressing, is Trump likely to pull through despite everything that is going against him? And if he is likely to pull through, likely to succeed at re-election, what then would have had would have to happen in order for that to happen?
Just like Lincoln's, he will pull through because the media, those who control the media, they are the ones that control our voting behavior. So he already has won. And like Lincoln said, it has to be a divine intervention to get us out of this. With the 5G, what they're doing to the environment. I mean, these people, they are about to kill, they're trying to kill us all, majority of us. So there has to be something to stop them, because we are not equipped and ready to fight with them, because they already got our minds. Because those who are not on psychiatric drug or on illicit drugs, those who are not on any form of drug, they got the cell phone and they're on the internet. They're totally out of it.
Well, we have to leave it there. We're out of time. But thank you for contributing today. Thank you all for contributing. And I feel better now that we have retrieved a lost hour, or potentially lost hour from yesterday, to accommodate those wanting to call in and participate. So thank you so much. We'll see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.